I'll introduce my unbeknownst to my children for a few years, evidently, my older brother, Scott, is with us here this morning, and from Chicago, and his son Dakota, and they're coming to hijack our oldest son to work with him for a week. So Andrew's going to spend a week with them, putting in a patio. Is that right? And some other. Well, absolutely. It's a vacation from the parents. Oh, we're happy to be talking about parenting this morning. And I've been having trouble with my back lately, which is not really very normal. And then I thought, I was sitting here thinking this morning, is that from parenting? Is that back from? And then I thought, well, that's not the whole picture, because my kids would tell me that, you know, I'm the pain in their back. And of course, that also counts out the significant blessing, you know, I don't like to think about the person I would be without my wife and my children. The joke goes, and I've told it many times. I think we shared it downstairs last time. I don't think everybody heard it, but you probably heard it before. You know, if you didn't think you were, if you didn't think you had trouble being selfish, well, go ahead and get married. And if that didn't convince you that you had some self-centered tendencies, have a bunch of kids. And I think it's true. I think if I didn't have all the relationships I have, might be pretty ugly. So I'm very thankful for my family, for my children, for the blessings they are. And it'll be tough to have, you know, it's interesting, even when you have six, when one is gone, it changes everything. Like we were riding here in the van this morning, we had different dynamics. Scott drove, actually Andrew drove, but anyway, Scott had his car, and three of the kids were with them, and three with us, and it was just completely different. It changes everything when even just one is not with us. So, all right, the key verse this morning is Psalm 34:11. Psalm 34:11, which says, "Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." What? Yeah, it's already passed. Go. Go. Okay. "Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." I think, you know, if there's anything to focus on there, it's the fact that we need to come to the Lord, come to Jesus, come to the Father, and that we, in that coming, need to be ready and willing to listen. Oftentimes, we might be somewhere physically, but we may not be there mentally. And so here we have the admonition to come and to listen, because if we do, if we will, He will teach us how to fear the Lord. All right, this first lesson, we're going to kind of set the landscape again. If you remember when we started the financial area of life, the first lesson with that cycle of earning honestly, giving generously, spending wisely, and investing carefully, that kind of set the stage for the whole series. And then in the marital area of life, we talked about how intimacy is to be achieved on all three levels, spiritual, psychological, and physical. Similarly, this first lesson sets the stage for the whole series on parenting. And really, this is meant to expose, meant to illumine, meant to help uncover what kind of parent a person is, what kind of parent I am. And I know that we have a vast array of ages in here. There's actually a parenting quiz. If you looked at this week, you saw that it starts out with two or three pages of a 10-question quiz. And that isn't a pass-fail quiz, so no sweat there. Right, Dan? No. No sweat there. It's just a quiz to evaluate where I'm at. Now, of course, some of us, the actual, you know, hardcore living day in, day out parenting challenges and blessings have come and gone, and now we are still parents, but we are not necessarily actively parenting the way you would young children. There is still all of that involved. Of course, I don't know what it's like because I'm not there yet. I'm still actively involved. But the point is we have an array of ages. So you have an opportunity to kind of glean from this what the Lord shows you, even if you are beyond those direct parenting years. I still think there's some significant truth here to be taken away. But this lesson is meant to identify what kind of parent you are. We have also used it to identify what kind of leader you are. And interestingly enough, sometimes they're not the same. Okay, sometimes the way you parent is different than the way you function outside of the circle of parenting. And oftentimes what we have found in our time is that the way you parent one child is different than the way you parent another child, whether you'd like to think that's true or not. That may come out, you know, if you're unwilling to see that may come back for you to be discovered once the children are gone and start talking about the way things were, and you notice that it was different for this one than it was for another one. Okay, so each child is unique, and in terms of the world's system, there are probably, 50. I mean, there's probably 50 or somewhere in there categories or types of parents that have been labeled. But we really want to boil it down to the simple, basic fundamentals with this and say, certainly every child is unique, but there are really two main ingredients to parenting. We can look at a lot of different things. I think that they can be boiled down to these two, however. And when we look at those two, before we do, we can pause and take a look at what are the values, what are the behaviors that we would like to see our children have. Or if we have gone down this road, what were the ones that we were hoping most likely to instill? And we're going to narrow those down. This isn't part of the diagram, but I just want to get them up on the board. In terms of values, we could spend 20 minutes or so just talking about what kind of values we would like to instill. And yet I'm going to put these umbrella terms up there and say that the values that most likely we would like to see happen are motivation and integrity. We would like to see our children be motivated, be confident, competent, capable, that kind of thing. We would like certainly to see them doing the same things in public that they do in private. We would like to see them be people of integrity. And then in terms of behaviors, we've also kind of brought it down to the very basics, and we're looking at respect. Excuse me for the microphone. Respect for authority, and then love of God and others, but love, okay? So, like I'm saying, we could probably fill up the whole board with these kinds of things, but let's just look at these main items. This is what we're targeting. This is what we're shooting for to put into a child in terms of values and behaviors. And even secular research will tell you that the way a child is parented, now we may not want to swallow this pill, okay, but the way a child is parented will affect directly the amounts, the levels of this. Now, it is not the only ingredient, right? We're not excluding God's spirit speaking directly to them. We're not excluding all other influences. But certainly we can look at our own lives and the way we were parented and say our parents had an influence on us. Does that make sense? Whether we want to face the music, so to speak, about us to our kids, our values, our behaviors were impacted. Now, we can all, of course, come to that age and say, hey, regardless of what happened, I need to move forward in this, that, or the other. But research will show us, the scriptures will show us, that the way a child is parented will determine the how this goes, how much of these get in, okay? And that's really what we want to look at this morning, and that's how we're going to be able to identify what kind of parent or leader we are. And the two biggies, the two major things that breed this into a child are acceptance and accountability. And we're going to see these on the graph here in a moment. I just want to get them up on the board there. Acceptance and accountability. Acceptance is essentially love. It's showing love and support. But it goes beyond beyond what we generally think of as love. Generally, we think of as love as, you know, love says, sometimes love can say, well, I love him, but I don't like him. Right? Isn't that somehow? I mean, sometimes we go that far with love. Acceptance is, I love you and I like you. Right? It doesn't, I'm not looking at what you're doing. I'm not looking at your behavior. I'm just, I love you, I like you, I want to be around you, I appreciate you. It's love and support. Accountability is directing and correcting. Directing at the front end and correcting on the back end the actions, the attitudes of one's child. So when we look at these on a graph, and here's where you can start to draw this. If we draw an arrow up, and you can draw this either on your blank sheet in your book or on the program there, we're looking at an arrow up, and we're saying that this vertical line is going to measure acceptance. And we're going to draw an arrow across to make our grid, and we're going to say that this horizontal line is measuring accountability. And so on this side, we have high accountability. So we have high acceptance and low acceptance. And then we have high and low accountability. And we're literally measuring this like on a graph, on a grid. Okay? So what this, if when you are able to take this little survey, ultimately it would plot you in one of these four quadrants. Now, whenever I take this, I'm there's 10 questions, I'm never 10, 10 and 1 and 0 and all the others. It's always a mixture. There, you're going to see different things in your style come out, but there's most likely going to be a dominant one. But the two things we're looking at is if I'm above the graph, if I'm on the upper half, then I tend to show a lot of love and support. If I am on the right-hand side of the graph, I tend to show a lot of directing and correcting. Okay, the acceptance is above, the accountability comes to the right. So if a parent demonstrates both high levels of acceptance and high levels of accountability, we call this an effective style. So write the term effective in there. This style, this approach is what we would call effective. And certainly this is the best approach. And what I'm saying with regard to these, how this grid relates to these things, is that when there is a high level of acceptance and a high level of accountability, you will see the highest, by far, no contest, the highest levels of these things built into the child. You can't get around it, okay? There are other variables. This isn't the only ingredient, but it is a big one. So the highest levels of these that will be seen in children comes when there's high acceptance and high accountability. We call that effective, okay? Then when we keep going, we have high acceptance and low accountability. So there's a lot of love, a lot of support. There's a lot of acceptance. Okay, there's not a lot of directing or correcting. Okay, we call that permissive. That style is permissive. Okay, and we call that poor. It isn't the worst, but it's poor. It's not effective. Okay, and so the number, the amounts of these ingredients are coming down. We're not putting numbers to them. I mean, I'm not saying, now hear me out so you don't think it's this cut and dried. I'm not saying that if this is the kind of environment they're in, that there's 100% of this and 100% of that and 100% of this. And there's too many variables, right? But it's the highest numbers. If those kids and their studies, cross-sectional longitudinal studies have been done to prove this out, that had nothing to do with it being a Christian study. It was just graphing these kinds of results. Okay, so I don't have any numbers to share with you, but I can tell you that whatever those numbers are, they go down when there's an environment where there's a lot of love, but not a lot of accountability. Okay, then we keep coming around, and we have low accountability. There's not a lot of directing or correcting, and there's not a lot of love and support, and we get to neglectful. Okay, and we say that this is just, you know, it's not poor. It's a little worse than poor. It's bad. This is bad parenting. This is neglectful. I mean, you just look at the word neglectful, and you're not thinking of somebody who you're probably wanting to model your parenting after, right? This word neglect. I mean, we're going to be putting some faces to this next week. This is like there is nothing on the face. You know, this person isn't there. This parent is not. They're either not around, or they are around and they're completely not engaged with what's going on. So these numbers, whatever they would be in terms of finding these, go down even more. Okay, this is the best. This comes down. Now it gets worse. But intuitively, logically, just by sheer logic, I think one would say, if we're looking at low and low, wouldn't this be the worst environment? Just logically, okay? There's not a lot of directing and correcting. There's not a lot of love and support. One would think that this would net the worst results over there. However, statistics show that's untrue. It is here, where there's a high amount of rules, of directing, of correcting, of this kind of environment in the absence of a lot of love and support. And this is controlling. And this, although counterintuitive, is the worst in terms of results of finding these behaviors and values in children. Okay? So what do these kinds of things look like? Now, if you've already taken the quiz, or if you take it, even if your kids are out of the house and you kind of do it as you remember things with the one who left most recently, or if you kind of are averaging things out and do it that way. Essentially, you know, you put your marks around here and find out from the answers that are there, and it helps identify what kind of parent you are. And when I do this, for me, I have my highest numbers over here. Okay? So I'm very thankful, and I praise the Lord that I have numbers that end up here on this effective side. But I got to tell you that I also have numbers that end up over here, and it's not pretty. This isn't about just exposing what it is, just to say, well, that's it, and just keep doing the same thing. The whole point of knowing something, of exposing something, is to say, wait a minute, if that's true and it has certain consequences, then I have an opportunity to change. And so for me, which is different than other personalities, you happen to have a pastor who you very well know. If you don't know, I'm just going to tell you, who you very well ought to know by now, is off the charts this way. A lot of encouragement, a lot of love, a lot of support, right? That's his personality. Okay? He's got to work at coming down here, at coming over here. That's work for him. Okay, it's the opposite from, this just comes out of me. Just, it just comes out. We've already talked about these things, right? There, he's shaking his head. It just comes out. It's just there. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do your homework? Did you? Let's do that. Those are the first things on my mind. Now, I don't, and what I'm saying is, whether I want them to be or not, they're there. Did you do it? Are you on the mark? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? It's this accountability. It's there. But if I know it's there, I need to consciously say, okay, now it's time out. That's not the most important thing. Because if you'll notice, okay, if you just look at the descriptors without having any numbers up here of amounts of kids or, levels of this without having actual quantitative numbers, which one of these, accountability or acceptance, is it better to be on the side of? If acceptance, if it was a teeter-totter, do you want to, balanced is the best, but do you want to err on acceptance or accountability? Which one is better? Acceptance. That's why you got such a great pastor, right? It's acceptance, okay? That's the better mistake. Does that make sense? We want them to be balanced, but if you're going to get out of balance, okay? So for those, and I know I'm not the only one, by the way. For those of us who were wired this way, it's a conscious effort to say, wait a minute. I need to show a lot of love and support. I need to err on that. And it's making those decisions. It's putting those relationships first. Okay? And then the same, but then the other is true. So if I err on acceptance, I need to say, wait a minute, it's not just about love and support. Okay? Otherwise, we're going here. It's do whatever you want to do, and I'll look the other way. Right? That's not it either. And so I need its work to err on that side. So for the sake of time, and we'll do more of this downstairs. But I want to get for those who don't get a chance to come downstairs. For the sake of time, I want you to go ahead and open your books if you have them to page 9, page 9 of your parenting workbook there. And I just want you to take a look at what kind of effects come, okay? If a parent has a neglectful style, look on page 9 there. If a parent has a neglectful style, look down there. The child of a neglectful parent may have the following kinds of thoughts. I'm not important. What I want isn't important. Why should I care about others? Others don't really care about me, okay? If I find myself on the neglectful. If I find myself on the permissive side, then the child thinks things like this at the bottom of the page. I can do what I want. They don't really care enough to make me obey. If it were really important how I behave, they wouldn't forget about what they tell me to do. Okay? And then, and of course, we have examples of these kind of parents in Scripture. And then controlling, on page 11, the child of a controlling parent may have thoughts like this, and you'll notice there's a lot more thoughts here. Okay, I get yelled at for everything I say or do. If I think for myself or make a decision of my own, I get criticized. I'll keep my thoughts to myself. I'll get out of here the first chance I get. No mistake I've ever made has been forgiven or forgotten. There's no way I can ever please them, so what's the use of trying? Can't they ever accept me the way I am? I'm a failure. And God's charge on the there on the second scripture, Colossians 3:21, fathers, don't aggravate your children. And I got to tell you, I know that I have. I don't want, as much as I don't want, I have. So we have an opportunity to take stock, take a look at where we are, and take a step forward. Does this make sense? Okay. That's pretty well. Then there is a way up, okay, for dealing with children who have been wounded and some descriptions there. And we're going to look at some of these in the class downstairs, so I'd encourage you to come. At indicators of where. Now, of course, again, this would be, you know, these things can be seen in children who are 10, who are 20, who are 30. You know, these things are not stopping these days when kids are 18, right? We're dealing with these kinds of things for a long time after. So may the Holy Spirit have used this time to help us identify the kind of parent we have been, maybe the kind of leader that we are. And if you haven't taken the quiz and you're able to, I would encourage you to do that. But take heart. What is our hope? Who growth? Who is the parent we are to be looking to? Our Heavenly Father. Okay? Who, by the way, does this better than anybody around, better than anybody to come. As good as I have experienced in my life, this from Wilmer, it's not as good as God's. Okay, it's not. It doesn't even come close. And, however, this does not escape His attention. Scripture is full of His admonition to us to discipline those we love. So it's a combination. So let's look to Him and learn from Him. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this time. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Thank you for what you've taught us. Help me, Father. Help us to be the parents you have you desire for us to be, that you've made us to be. According to your word, may we walk in the good deeds that you have already charted for us. Help us to walk in them and not veer to the right or to the left. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for accepting us completely, unconditionally, and thank you for not holding us accountable. In Jesus' name, amen.